Take your Bible, if you would, please, quickly today, Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5 for a few moments this morning. We've, of course, been in the Gospel of Matthew now, looking at some different things. Of course, also we spent some time preaching about or trying to preach on love. And certainly I appreciate the Lord helping us in that. And Wednesday night we come back to Matthew chapter number 5, and we begin to look at some things here as you look at the Sermon on the Mount, or what's considered the Sermon on the Mount. And we look especially down in the latter part of verses 10, 11, and 12, and feel led of the Lord to come back to the first part of the chapter and look at maybe verse number 3 for a few moments this morning. I know time is quickly getting away, and certainly we have to be sensitive to time. We understand that, but we also want to be sensitive most of all to the moving of the Holy Spirit and let Him do that which He wants to do in our hearts and our lives. And certainly the thought that we started looking at on Wednesday night is simply, how to live a happy Christian life. How to live a happy Christian life, and certainly or just a happy life if you think about it. But I truly believe the only way that individuals can truly live a happy life is to know the Lord Jesus Christ and a free pardon of sin, and then be certainly willing to submit to His Word and to His will and to His way. Certainly if we're not careful, we try to get going our own way, and we talked about the temptations and all those things out of chapter number 4. But today I want to look at just for a few moments again and continue the thought on how to live a happy Christian life. That being said this morning, everyone found your place in the precious Word of God. Say amen. Amen. All right, I ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the Word of God. We'll give you a moment to stretch your legs if you're able to stand. And if you're not, that's okay. Matthew chapter number 5. Let's look at a couple of verses of Scripture here this morning. Bible says, and seeing the multitudes, he, being Jesus now, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And I want you to notice that. And verse 2 says, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, verse number 3 is going to be our verse we're going to look at this morning. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the Lord add His richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in Your presence once again today, Father, to thank You for another beautiful day, to thank You for a good day, this Lord's Day, that, Father, You've allowed us to be able to come back to Your house, Father, today to worship You in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we thank You for the teaching of the Word of God. We thank You for the prayers that, Lord's already been offered. We thank You for the beautiful singing and the testimonies, and, Father, for the moving of the Spirit of God in our hearts already here today. And Lord, we thank You for the living Word of God. And I pray now for just a few moments, Father, as Your servant, I pray that, Father, You'll anoint me with fresh oil. God, I pray that, Father, You'll anoint my heart, my mind, and my mouth, that, Lord, I will say those things that need to be said from this pulpit here, Father, today. And then, Lord, I pray that our ears and our hearts, Father, will be open and receptive, Father, to that which You, Lord, have for each and every one of us today. Truly, I believe today that if we're saved and know You as Savior, that, Lord, we ought to have be living out a happy life, Lord, before others, that they might see their need of You. And Lord, I do pray for those that could be here today that's never truly trusted You as Savior. I pray right now that the Holy Spirit of God would convict them and draw them. Lord, this very day, Lord, they'd step out by faith and receive You. Then, Lord, those that could be here today cold, indifferent, out of the will of God, and Lord, they don't have that joy and that happiness in their heart, Lord, showing forth from their life today as they should. They allowed something else, Lord, to interfere. I pray, oh God, today, Lord, that You'd use me, Father, for just a few moments, Lord, through the Word of God. Lord, again, You'll speak to every heart, and I pray every heart be open and receptive and obedient, Lord, to what You have for us today. Father, we sure do love You. Thank You for loving us this morning. Use our time together now. And Father, we're going to thank You and praise You for what You're going to do. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God for a few moments today, and I'll try to be just as quick as I can this morning. How to live a happy Christian life. I believe Jesus gives some things here to His disciples, as we find from chapter number 4 and also here in chapter number 5. And we talked about this some on Wednesday night. We see that certainly a great multitude had started following the Lord Jesus here in His early ministry. And we see that He had been healing and preaching and teaching and casting out demons. And I mean, there was a lot of excitement, a lot of things going on in the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus, and here even for the Jews that were certainly in this area at this time. And we see certainly that Jesus goes up into this mountain. We see that his disciples go into him, and he begins to teach them. He begins to tell them some things, because these are the ones that certainly are going to follow him, the ones that he is going to entrust the gospel to take to the world after certainly he goes to the cross and lays down his life and ascends back to the Father, resurrects and ascends back to the Father. And so he begins to give them some things about living a Christian life. You know, everybody today that calls himself a Christian certainly may not necessarily mean that they are a Christian. Certainly the word Christian today means Christ-like or a little Christ. Simply we can call ourselves anything, but certainly this morning the main important thing is today to know Christ as Savior. And certainly I believe today if we're going to know Christ as Savior and live a happy Christian life, a productive life that certainly reflects the person of Christ in our lives and through our lives, then I believe as God was giving, or the Lord Jesus was giving his disciples some instruction here, I believe there's some things that we can draw, some application that can be made to our own lives this morning if we're going to live that happy Christian life. And certainly we should today, because God has already been saying about and testified about this morning. Certainly has been so good. I thought about, I love the little song the children sang, if you're happy and you know it, then clap your feet, or clap your hands, and stomp your feet and say amen. I mean, if you're really happy in your heart, certainly today, then that's going to come forth from our life. And I said this on Wednesday night, I'm afraid we're living in a time to where we truly don't see a whole lot of happiness. Let me say this morning before I get into a lot of the things that I want to say here today. Happiness today is not certainly the things that we contain as far as this material world is concerned. He's telling these disciples as you go on in these verses that they're going to face persecution and they're going to face all kinds of things, but yet they can still be happy in knowing and following the Lord Jesus Christ and being what he has instructed them and called them to be. And so being happy today is not in what you have materially. Today, friend, I don't care what you might have, what you might obtain, and what you might be striving for. Now, I understand those things can help and all that, and I'm not preaching against that. But if you're looking for the things of this world and the material things, or if you're looking for another individual to really make you happy today, then friend, I'm going to tell you something this morning. You're going to come up way short. And there's no wonder so many people today, even that calls themselves Christians, and I believe are saved today, but yet they're not living out that happy life that God wants us to live and that we can live. Why in the world would an individual not want to live out a happy Christian life? And so today I want us to think about that. And as you look here, Jesus gives several things. Of course, he says blessed, or some interpret that blessed. They say it blessed either way you want to say it. But I thought about this morning, how sad it is when so many seem to be searching for happiness again in this world. The problem with searching for happiness, as we said, in something or someone else other than the Lord Jesus Christ and his word and his will for our life, they will always come up short. Always come up short. And this morning, even for those today that are Christians, we can allow our relationships and our priorities to get all out of line and forget about those things that really bring and maintain true happiness in our lives each and every day. And so Jesus here says in verse number 3, I want us to get it today, and I want to give you a couple of things that I'm going to let you go. Notice he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Now that word bless or blessed this morning, as we relate on Wednesday night, it simply means to be supremely blessed. And could I say today, hallelujah, even whether we acknowledge it or not, hallelujah, we have been supremely blessed. As the choir sang so wonderfully about this morning, we have been supremely blessed. Think about these disciples. Think about as God calls them out. A lot of them being simple fishermen and different areas and walks of life, and maybe not a lot materially in this world, but friend, just to know Christ and to walk with Him and have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ today, I tell you what, I am supremely blessed. I'll tell you what, I may not have a lot of these world's goods today. Listen, I've got everything I need, even in all that. God's been so good to me. God's blessed me, but way beyond more than I deserve today. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, I've got a roof over my head and shoes on my feet and food on my table. I'm telling you what, I've been blessed. I don't know about you. I believe I'll just give Him a wave offering. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for blessing somebody like me when I'm so undeserving. But I'll tell you what, in all that, the greatest blessing that I have, hallelujah, is to know deep down in my soul this morning, hallelujah, thank God, one day, hallelujah, like it was September the 27th, 1987, lost and undone without God. I'll tell you what made my way to Calvary. I'm telling you what, thank God something happened that day, something that transformed me and changed me. I'm telling you, hallelujah, thank God, I'm glad. Thank God the God of glory moved into my soul, forgave me of my sin, wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't know about you, but I've been supremely blessed this morning. Hallelujah. And so have you this morning if you know Christ as Savior. Why shouldn't we be a happy people? Blessed. Supremely blessed. Fortunate. Well off. Friend, if you don't know Christ as Savior, you just don't realize what you're missing. I'm telling you, the world has nothing like this to offer you. Oh, yes, there's pleasure in sin for just a little season, but a season doesn't last long. I'm glad I've got a lifetime, eternal relationship with the Son of God. Oh, my soul this morning, church, how blessed we are today. Notice he gives here in this verse number 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, he didn't deal with material things here, because I want you to understand something this morning. If we overlook the spiritual, if you overlook the spiritual necessities of your own heart and life today, friend, irregardless of what you may have materially, it all does not matter one little bit. If you overlook the spiritual need that you have this morning, and could I say, there's very possibly someone like that right here seated in this sanctuary on this Sunday morning. Maybe you act like it sometimes. Maybe you hope that you are sometimes. Maybe you've made a profession here or a profession there. And I'm not trying to make you doubt in any way, friend. If you're saved, you're saved for time and eternity. But I'm telling you, I'm afraid too many people, hallelujah, this morning, friend, listen to me. They've never took into consideration the spiritual need of their own heart and their own life this morning. Oh, friend, I'll tell you what. You can't play the game and be happy. I'll tell you what, you got to get in the game to be happy this morning. Thank God, I'll tell you what, I'm glad for the day I got in the game. Hallelujah, got to know Christ as my Savior. I'm telling you, friend, if you really want to be happy, you must understand that there's a spiritual need that only Christ can meet in your heart and your life today. A lot of people are sitting on church pews and listen, it's good to come to church. I'd encourage anybody to come to church. Amen. Amen. I'd invite them all to come to church. I'd encourage you to come to church. But friends, sitting on a church pew will not save you this morning. Just because you might have jumped up and run down the aisle one day and made a profession of faith doesn't necessarily mean that you had that spiritual need met in your heart and your life. I want you to understand that. Well, I prayed a prayer and the preacher told me I was all right. Well, friend, I want to tell you something this morning. It wasn't this preacher that told you he's all right. Amen. Because that's not my job to tell you whether you're all right or not. I'm glad there's somebody bigger today, hallelujah, that can let you know, without a shadow of a doubt, that you pass from death unto life. And hallelujah, that person is a person of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Listen to me this morning. Friend, you sit on a church pew and die and go to hell. How sad that would be when God, hallelujah, has already paid the price that you could know Him as Savior today. Have that assurance in your heart this morning and go around with a song in your heart and a spring in your step, knowing that you've passed from death unto life today, my friend. So many people are going to be fooled. They've been sold a counterfeit. And no, there's no wonder that there's no true happiness coming forth from her life. People are confused. People are living in doubt. Now, let me ask you a question. Is that God that done that? Jesus has went up into the mount. The great multitude has been following Him. Man, He's been healing and preaching and teaching. I mean, boy, He's been doing some great things. And just like you find so many times in the Scriptures, so many people will follow Him, was following Him as long as they were getting what they wanted physically. As long as everything was going good. But then Jesus began to, in His ministry, begin to teach some hard things. To let them know that, of course, we know that Matthew is presenting the Lord Jesus as king, and certainly He is king today. Now, He's not set up His kingdom there in Jerusalem yet, but hold on, honey, He's coming to do that one day. Just hold on, it's going to happen. But the main thing today is He set up a kingdom in your heart today. Hey, man, is He the king of your heart? Is He the king of your soul? Is He the king of my soul this morning? No wonder people are going around and they're confused and they're down and out and they got their head stuck in the sand this morning and they look like there's no joy and there's no peace. Listen, that's not God's fault. God didn't design it that way. Even in the most difficult of circumstances today, I'm glad, hallelujah, I can have peace in my heart and joy in my heart. And joy in my soul because, hallelujah, blessed are the poor in spirit this morning. What does that mean, preacher? Well, let me give it to you. I'm going to give you something real quick here before I just get too much out of gear. The word poor, as used here in this text, it means to be a beggar or it can mean to be distressed. Now, somebody say, well, now, to be a beggar or to be distressed don't sound like too much happiness to me. See, you're missing it. See, this is a spiritual book. And Jesus, again, is dealing with the spiritual need of all of mankind. Now, He wasn't dealing just with the disciples' spiritual need, and He wasn't just dealing with mine, nor with yours, but He's dealing with the spiritual need of the whole world today. And how sad it is that people cannot see their spiritual need. Now, I understand that we need the person of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, to work with us and deal with us and show unto us that. But, friend, there are people sitting on church pews and even possibly right here. You've heard the gospel message time and time and time again. It's not that you've not heard the message, per se. You've heard it with your ear, but it's kind of like that old saying is that the wives tell us men about. It goes in one ear, I ain't getting a whole lot of amens right there, Miss Wilma. It goes in one ear, and then it goes out the other. Well, there is a lot of truth to that. I truly believe that men have a makeup that we have selective hearing.
Amen.
Whether we want to admit it or not. That's not always a wise thing. Understand that. But if we're not careful, we have that selective hearing. But what is even more crucial today is, friend, you better listen to this preacher here this morning. But more than that, you better listen to the person of the Holy Spirit. You better let that Word of God find a place to come into this ear, get down into this heart, begin to speak to this heart. I'm telling you what, if you'll do that today, if you'll listen to God, if you'll see your spiritual need, if you'll get poured, I don't need God. I've got this thing all under control. I'm not really that bad. I'm telling you this morning, friend, until you and I will get poured in spirit and see our need, we'll never do nothing about that need. We'll play the game. We'll play church. We'll play that we're all right. But at the end of the day, we're as lost as a ball in high weeds. I'm telling you this morning, friend, if you're going to be happy, you're going to have to get poor in spirit. Does that know what Jesus just said? See, you ain't seen your spiritual needs yet. Now, I can preach you the Word of God. And I can honestly say this from the bottom of my heart. There's not one individual in this church that's reached the age of accountability that you've not heard a clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. That Jesus was born of a virgin. That He was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of a virgin, lived a perfect, sinless life, went to the cross of Calvary. They didn't take His life, but He laid His life down. Preacher, why did He lay His life down? Because, Brother Randy, he knew that there's going to be a little boy born up here in the mountains of Wilkes County that's going to need a Savior. He's going to be birthed into this world a sinner. And when he reached that age of accountability, he was going to sin. What is sin? Anything we think, say, or do that's against God. I'm telling you, he knew I was going to mess up. He knew I was going to come short. But hallelujah, 2,000 plus years ago, thank God, at a hill called Calvary, He said, I'll go, and pay that boy's sin debt. Hallelujah. And not only mine, but the sin debt of the whole world. Hallelujah. We ought to be happy. We ought to be happy when we come to the place. Thank God that we can't save ourselves. We can't get rid of the sin problem. We can't get rid of the sin stain. We can't get rid of the sin scar. But I'm glad. Thank God it can be cast as far as the east is from the west. Thank God through the blood of the Lord Jesus this morning, my friend. He died. That's not the end of the story. They placed Him in a borrowed tomb. Why? Because He ain't going to eat long. Well, preacher, I don't know where I can believe all that or not. See, that's your problem. That's your problem. Place you've been a borrowed tomb. 3 days later, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, here comes Mary Magdalene and the other sisters with her. They come down there to that tomb. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Fred, they got to the tomb. They's bringing some spices. They loved Him so much. They's going to anoint His body once again. I'm telling you what, when they got there, the stone had been rolled away. Oh, my. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, why was the stone rolled away so he could get out? No. Hallelujah. He didn't need nobody to move that stone. He's God. Hallelujah. He big enough to put the stone there. He big enough to take the stone away. Hallelujah. He was before the stone was ever made. Oh, my soul. Thank God this morning. Thank God it wasn't rolled away so he could get out. It was rolled away so they could look in. And when they look in, hallelujah, to their surprise, but not only to their surprise, but if they'd have really thought about it, to their delight, hallelujah, he was arisen. He's not here. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive this morning, church. Hallelujah. He's alive, thank God. Amen. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's not dead. That means he's alive. And because he lives, Miss Joe, you know what he told me in his word? Because he lives, I live. Oh, my soul. How'd you figure all that? When I got poor in spirit. When I figured out I couldn't save myself. When I figured out I couldn't redeem myself. When I figured out I was lost and on the road to hell and deserved it. Oh, thank God. Thank God, thank God for the day that Jesus come my way. And the Holy Ghost of God got me to the place to where I was either going to get in or I was going to get out. You say, what do you mean, preacher? You get a bad enough conviction, you'll either do something about it, or you'll tuck tail and run. I'm just glad God got me to the place.
Amen.
It's not that you've not heard the gospel story and the gospel message. Preacher, I don't know if God could save somebody like me. You're a good candidate. Matter of fact, could I say you're an excellent candidate? You know what's happening? You're becoming poor in spirit. You're figuring out you ain't got what you need. You're figuring out that you're lost. And you're struggling along. And even though as much as you try to fix yourself, and as much as you try to clean yourself up, and as much as you try to do better, oh, you just can't do it. And there ain't no peace. Are you can pillow your head tonight and there still ain't no peace of God there. I'm telling you what, you get poor in spirit and call upon this man called Jesus. I'm glad you can pillow your head. Hallelujah. Whether it be at your house, whether it be in a cave, whether it be in a barn, whether it be on the side of a mountain somewhere, I'm glad you can pillow your head in peace knowing that you've been born again by the Spirit of God. See, I'll tell you what's keeping people from being blessed or blessed. Poor in spirit, and that's pride. You think you got this thing. I ain't preached a point yet. Well, that's all right. I didn't come to preach points, I come to preach the gospel.
Amen.
If the points work out, it's all right. How about preach my fool self to death this morning, aren't you? Hallelujah. I can't preach for gallbladder. That brother's done gone. They got that thing last May. Unless I've grown another, boy, I hope, pray God not. Amen. I won't go through that again. You know what's keeping you from having your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, for you living that happy, peaceful, joyful life that you could have in Christ today, is you've let pride. You're letting pride. Oh, I don't need that. I don't really need that. Friend, you just don't understand how bad you do need it. to think about dying and perishing without God. Oh, I know hell don't scare nobody no more. But the last time I looked, it's hot. It's hot, it's hot, it's hot. Hey, man. It's a place where Lazarus is still just wanting one drop of water to cool his tongue, because he said, I'm tormented in these flames. It's a place of no escape. It's a place where the worm dieth not. Well, preacher, God just loves me too much to let me go to hell. Friend, it ain't Him sending you. It's you. It's because you are rejecting the great price that was paid for you at Calvary. Listen, you reject the blood of Christ today, and you continually reject that blood. One day after a while, you'll remember every message that you ever heard. I believe, Brother Burrow, for all eternity, they'll remember every message that they heard about this man called Jesus. I believe they'll remember every invitation. Because if you'll go back and study and you'll look in your Bible, the rich man, I may have said Lazarus a while ago. If I did, I'm sorry. It ain't the Lazarus wanting the drop of water. It's the rich man. It's the rich man. And he's still wanting that drop of water. And if you'll remember, that rich man could remember. He even remembered his five brethren. Oh, Lord, send somebody back. Oh, could you imagine the anguish? Could you imagine the pain? Could you imagine all that he was going through? And he knew he wasn't getting out. But could you send somebody by and tell my five brethren that they don't want to come here? What's the Bible say? They have Moses and the prophets. If you won't believe them, they won't believe one. As yeah, he was come back from the dead. Something, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it says. Now, friends, you don't have to go. You don't have to go around living life and not being happy. You mean, preacher, being a Christian is something that we can be happy about? Now, I know you might work with some people or you might be acquainted with some people and they call themselves queer Christian, but they don't ever seem to be happy. Well, now let me ask you something. Is that God's fault? No, that ain't God's fault. Matter of fact, if we're saved and not going to have to go to that place, we ought to be just rejoicing. Amen. Praise God. We ought to be the happiest people in all the world. Thank God I ain't going to go to hell. Amen. And I get all the benefits to go with it. People just don't believe it no more. Well, let me just give you something here, friend, before I get done. Whether you believe it or not doesn't change the facts. Whether you believe it or not doesn't change the facts that you're a sinner. Irregardless of what family you come from, irregardless of how good your mom and daddy might have been, regardless how good grandma and grandpa might, it doesn't matter. Because the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. When that says all, that's all that all means, and that all, that, it's just all. Amen. See, that gets us all under that umbrella that we need a Savior. The difference between myself this morning and if you're here today without Christ is that I have accepted the blood of Jesus, that I have believed upon Him, that I have called upon Him for salvation. And you know what? When I done that, He saved me. Yeah. It wasn't necessarily the prayer. The prayer that I prayed, it's when I acted in faith in my heart, is when God done the work in my heart, in my life.
I'm saved today. Boy, this ought to really, we ought to really rejoice about this. Brother Archie, I'm saved today.
Amen.
I'll be saved tonight. I'll be saved tomorrow.
Yes,
I'll be saved next week. I'll be saved next month. I'll be saved next year. I'll be saved 50 years from now. Preacher, you probably won't be here. No, but I'll still be saved. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Because that's the work that God only has to do one time.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And I'm glad once you're saved, you're always saved.
Right.
I'm glad the devil can't take that one. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What's that mean, preacher? I'm trying to tell you. Oh, praise God. Don't time fly when you're having fun. I mean, what do you expect? It's 11:45 before I get to preaching. Last time I looked, we got a starting time. But we don't have anywhere in that bulletin a quitting time. That's some people's problem. They want to quit before they ever get here.
Right.
Chew on that in a while. What's this poor in spirit, preacher? It means to be a beggar. It means to be distressed. Let me give you a couple of things and I'm done. I ain't preached one point this morning. That's all right. Just try to follow the Spirit of God. I like it that way anyhow.
Amen.
Always works out best anyhow. What is this poor in spirit? And then notice the promise that goes with it. For theirs is. Now that's present tense. Is that right? Now, as most of you know, I'm not an English major. But I do believe that is present tense. And could I say it's just as present tense now as it was then? Is the kingdom of heaven. Two things. First of all, recognize our great need of Christ. That's what poor in spirit is. When we recognize our great need of Christ. See, this world hadn't got that figured out yet. They're going around trying to find happiness in all other places of this world. Now there's things that can add to our happiness. Don't misunderstand me. I mean, if you've got $5 versus $5 million, even though the money's not going to make you happy, it can add to it. But it's not going to make you happy. Just like finding the right spouse, the man finding the right wife, and the wife finding the right man. Oh, if I could just find that right man or that right woman, I'll be happy. No. It can add to that happiness. And it will if it's right.
Amen.
Amen. Better shake your head right there. Amen. Amen. Come on, fellas, shake your head. Yeah, there you go. Get it to go. Even back there in the back, get it to going. It can and will add to that happiness. But that within itself will not make you happy. He's given these disciples instructions because now they're going to face some difficult times. They're going to face some hard times. They're going to face that persecution. If you were here Wednesday night, I'll try to do this quickly, I promise. If you're here Wednesday night, I was trying to preach on persecution. I feel like I just made a mess out of the whole thing. But anyhow, I've done the best I could under the circumstances. But anyhow, I hadn't even left the church. And I get a call from one of our missionaries. And you know who he is? He was just here recently. And he's in a very dangerous place in the world. And I don't want to say his name in case it goes out and somebody gets a hold of it. But he's in a very dangerous place. He called me and he said, "Preacher, I'm just getting ready to send out a newsletter. But he said, I wanted to call and explain what's in that letter. And I said, "All right, preacher, let's hear it." He said, I've had to leave. Of course, he was here on furlough. And he says, one of my main workers, my main helpers, back where I was at. Now, mind you, I was talking about persecution. I was talking about how good we have it here in America. And where there's places in the world that has to go underground, have underground churches, and they have to slip and sneak the gospel in. He calls me and he says, Preacher, he said, my man got caught. He got arrested. He got interrogated pretty severely. And he says, they got one of my outfits that we use to fly the gospel in. And they got the, what is it, that thing you call it, the flash card? Memory drive? Hard drive. One of them drives. Goes to show you how much I know about technology. And he says, they've got my picture. And he says, they're waiting right now, watching my place for me when I come back to arrest me, not for murder, for preaching, for trying to tell somebody about Jesus. And he says, Preacher, I'm going to have to change where I'm at. But I want you to get this. He said, I'm going to have to change this, this, and this. But he says, irregardless, I'm going back. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes them little hairs on the back of my neck just go, whew. He says, I've got to go back. And he says, I'm going back. And he says, I'm going to do what God's called me to do, to get the gospel to those that need to hear it. I said, Brother, you ain't got one thing to worry about on this end. I'm speaking for me and I'm speaking for you.
Amen.
I said, don't you worry about a thing. I said, we're going to pray for you. And I said, your support's going to keep coming. And I said, by the way, if you need anything else, just let me know. What happened? There was a time that he could become poor in spirit. Listen, we got it good. Amen. He's rejoicing because he's going back. He's going to find a way to go back and get the gospel out. And we ain't got enough joy in our heart sometimes to even go across the road. Oh, I got to quit. I get to preaching again. Get mean. How to live a happy Christian life. Jesus here himself said, now it's not me saying, it's him saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know what? Let's think about it just real quickly for a moment. See, Jesus is trying to get them and trying to get us to the place that where we think more upon the spiritual. Amen. Than we do the physical. How often is it do we really think about the spiritual? We're more concerned about the physical. And that doesn't mean we're not supposed to take care of ourselves. The Bible teaches us that we are the temple of God and the Holy Ghost dwells in us and all that. And I understand that. But before we get to that place, we've got to get to the place that we're poor in spirit. To realize our need of Christ. If you're lost, you need Christ. If you're saved, you need Christ. We need to realize our need. I think I said I was going to give you two things, didn't I? Let me give you one other and I'm done. Not only to recognize our great need of Christ, but to realize that our fulfillment, that's where I was wanting to get to, that our fulfillment is in Christ. If you want to live a fulfilled, happy, blessed, beyond blessed, supremely blessed, If you want to live that kind of life, realize that it has to be through and by Christ and Him alone. Irregardless of what you might gain in this world, it'll never really make you happy. It can add to it, but it won't make you happy. If I could just get this certain person to love me or like me, I would be happy. Friend, again, it won't make you happy. It can add to it, but it won't make you happy. Because blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let's stand to our feet all over the building. Brother Scotty, come and get us a song. Father, we love you today. Thank you for loving us. And Lord, all I've tried to do this morning is just follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, I thank you. Oh, I thank you this morning for the sweet Holy Spirit. I thank you for the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, evidently this is exactly what's needed to be preached here this morning. Lord, all the beautiful singing and testimonies, Lord, I didn't know what you wanted to do, but Lord, I truly believe this is what you wanted for this hour. So I pray right now in the stillness of this service. I pray right now that the Holy Ghost of God is walking up and down every pew, speaking to every heart. And Lord, if for somebody here today that's never truly been born again, I pray right now, would you deal with their heart? Bring them to the place that they would become poor in spirit and realize it. Recognize that their greatest need in all this world is Christ. That they're lost, that they need a Savior. And then also today for those that are saved, that we'd realize that our fulfillment, our happiness, our true happiness is in Christ. Lord, I pray you'd help us take the invitation. Lord, you use it, you move, you speak. And Lord, that which you do, we're going to thank you and we're going to praise you. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Every head bowed.